It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown T minus 5, 4, 3. Two, one.
Welcome to Skippy and Fanny Show, episode 90.
Oh no! Sean found his first gray hair! Time to find his own sparkly vampire.
What the hell was that? That's your tagline?
That's my tagline.
Oh, alright. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jed.
And this is our Torture Cinema episode. It's a very special episode because we are recording back-to-back. Two reviews, which will be released separate weeks, but two reviews, and we're drinking the whole time, which means we will get progressively less coherent as we go through this.
I don't think we start out particularly coherent either, so it'll be pretty interesting.
True. This episode, of course, this first half, we are reviewing Twilight New Moon.
Yay!
Thanks in part to our lovely fans who decided that the Twilight New Moon would be our next pick, and since we had to do two at the same time, we just decided to do two of these Twilight movies in hopes that you'll be, like, sated, that you won't do it again to us.
Oh, please, you know they're going to make us watch the fourth one. And the sick part is, I think my husband wants to see the fourth one.
Okay, so what are you drinking, Jen?
I am currently drinking Sam Adams Winter Lager.
That's not bad. I am drinking...
It's delicious.
Publix brand Diet Coke, or Diet Cola, as it's called, with what the last half of my lovely and wonderful Cruzan vanilla rum. So I started.
Smooth.
Yeah, I did. I started at half a bottle. I am now down to 3/4 of a half, whatever that is. So. And this whole bottle will
be
drunk by the time we're done. Whatever. Whatever. I can't do math right now. We just watched these two shit movies. So, I'm sorry. But
a very valid point.
I will have a
Why
very
don't
funny
Why you give
note.
Our listeners a short recap of what this film is about?
There's a plot?
No, not really. But I think you could at least tickle one out of the mess that there's this movie.
Okay, well, let's just start here. The last movie we know, Bella and Edward, like, hooked up, you know, finally. And by hooked up, we mean, like, they barely kissed, like, their lips touched, and then, like, an elk died or something somewhere in the woods, right? But they hooked up, and so in this one, Edward's all like, oh, I love you, and and then suddenly bad stuff happens, and, like, Victoria from the previous movie is, like, still around trying to kill Bella. As, like, vengeance for him killing her mate, even though her mate was a douche. And so he decides, like, I'm gonna leave you, and the whole family, the Cullen family, disappears to Italy or somewhere. And Bella basically spends, like, all but the last 10 minutes of this movie just, like, sulking, while Jacob desperately tries to get her to fall in love with him.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Jacob's a werewolf.
Yes.
Yep.
Team Jacob, baby.
I'm Team Jacob, too. I was going to ask that question, by the way. You know, Team Edward or Team Jacob? And I say that because I don't think Jacob's necessarily quite 100% better.
No.
But he is better. Like, I mean that in the sense that, like, Edward is completely and utterly awful. Jacob is...
Oh, it's about 3/4 as awful.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob's not bad.
We'll give him half.
Jacob tries. And it's clear Jacob really cares. Edward has no emotions, so you can't tell. Yeah. It's whatever. But in any case, this is just a dumb movie that's just like teen hyper melodrama, really.
Without any of the actual drama.
Right, because, that's one of my likes, actually. So.
Yes.
It's ironic. Like, so we should start, of course, with our likes, I think, on this one, because I think we both agree that we hated this one more than we hated Eclipse.
Yes.
So we'll switch it around when we go to Eclipse, and we'll end with likes. So my first like is that everyone in this movie, except for Taylor Lautner, maybe except for him, realizes that this is really just a grand farce of an endeavor. And in fact, maybe the real only real exceptions to this are Bella's like dorky friends who she really doesn't like, but she hangs out with. Who?
Yeah, and the scenes with them are just painful.
They are, and it's clear to me, I think, that the four actors that play her friends believe deep down in their heart that this movie is their big break.
Yes.
Like, they're gonna make it. They're gonna make it. And I guarantee you, at least three quarters of them will be doing porn. In about another year.
That's just mean.
It is mean. But it was so bad. Oh, there's just no, like, everybody, I think, just phones it in. There's no good acting anywhere in this.
Yeah, but, you know, the question is that the actor's fault or is that the director's fault? And
both. Well, and it could be the script, too.
Well, very good.
The dialogue between Bella and Edward is really awful because it's, like, it takes them 20 minutes to say 8 words.
All right, so your like is what exactly?
Just, I found it enjoyable that I could tell that how many of them had phoned it in.
Oh, gosh.
And which ones thought that this was their big break. And really, we're going to end up in porn. Yeah.
So, my first like is jumping off of cliffs.
Oh!
I suppose I should have a dislike of, but they don't actually die.
Oh, you mean the werewolf boys?
No. Just people in general in this movie should just kill themselves. So,
yeah.
I liked that, at the same time I disliked it, but it's kind of a double-edged sword with this one, but I did enjoy the kind of, in a sick sort of way, I have to admit, that Bella spent the movie trying to kill herself.
It's true.
I was just disappointed that it never worked.
Oh.
I guess. I'm sorry. I really, she needs to die. Sooner rather than later.
So she doesn't breed and share those awful genes. It's true. This is actually related to my first dislike, by the way.
Oh, okay. What's your first?
Which is just really a phrase, which is, you know, suicide, totally in. Totally in. Because that's her response.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the movie, she spends like 35 minutes of the movie like sitting in a chair, like moping.
Oh my God, that's the longest... scene ever.
But her response to it is she doesn't think that Edward is gonna let her die, so she decides to jump off a cliff into the ocean to like not really kill herself, but like it there's no clear motivation, but it was quite clear that she meant to kill herself
because she's effing crazy. That's the motivation for her doing all these really stupid crap.
But it's ridiculous. Like, what kind of message is that?
It's a terrible message. I mean, like, on one hand, that's why I say it was a sick sort of twisted desire that I wanted to see her die in the end, and that I enjoyed watching her try to commit suicide over and over again. Because they weren't, like, even wholehearted attempts to commit suicide. They were, like, lame attempts to commit suicide. She
gets on the bike.
She sits in a chair for 6 months. That was awesome. And then she rides on a motorcycle with a person she doesn't know. Yeah. Ooh, crazy. And then she rides on a motorcycle by herself going all of 30 miles per hour. And, ooh, scary.
Balls.
And then, like,
yeah.
The one thing that she does that's even slightly interesting is jumping off a cliff. So, which I suppose could theoretically kill someone. Yeah, I mean, that would work. It was cliff diving, I should point out, into water, you know, ocean. And, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
suicide, yay!
There was a point, too, is I think this movie might have been more interesting if she had died. And then we, like, followed Jacob around while he was suffering from that.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say mope, because I don't think Jacob would mope. But I think that it would certainly affect him. And it would be more interesting to watch him and him being affected by all the shit going on in his life than to spend, you know, 45 minutes watching some really, really stupid girl acting like a complete and utter moron. And the fact that, quite honestly, if she sat in that chair for 6 months and her dad didn't, like, say, go see a shrink.
I know, right? What kind of parent? How? It's terrible parenting.
It's
in the end, he says, go hang out with your friend Jacob. And you're like, yay.
Yeah, you know, but she doesn't tell him anything. So he doesn't have any clue that Jacob is part of the problem. So, because she's.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But so this is all related to my first dislike, which is boys, boys, boys. The only thing that has any meaning in Bella's world are boys.
Oh my God,
either
yes.
Edward, who she spends the entire movie pining after, hence her numerous lame, pitiful suicide attempts. And when she's not pining after Edward, she's like, I don't know, basically toying with Jacob.
No, she's, yeah, she absolutely
she's
is.
Fully cognizant of the fact that Jacob has an interest in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she gets off on that.
Of course she does.
I think that's the one thing, you know, it's part of that whole danger aspect to her. She's like, I'm a badass because I can make this boy, like, puppy love me. And, of course, it turns out it's real puppy love because she's a werewolf. But it's just, it's, again, the problem with these stupid movies, that whole misogynist, you know, patriarchal system that they are completely reinforcing. The only thing in a little girl's life is the men.
Yeah, and it's very clear, too, because she puts it very explicitly in the movie. It's not just implied. It's very explicit.
Yes.
That she says pretty much, like, she can't live without him. I can't live. I need him.
Right. And let's look at the female characters in these movies. Because, I mean, who do you have? You have Alice. You have the mother. You have Leah. No, not Leah. She's not until the next movie.
Emily. Right. And her two friends.
And then the two girlfriends.
Jessica.
All of these characters, all the female characters. And I suppose you have the other sister, Edward's other sister and his mother. All the female characters are relegated to very minor roles.
And it's really sad, too, because the characters who really sort of buck the trend, like, I would think Alice does buck the trend to some extent, because she has powers, and she uses her power, and she is clearly, like, you know, negotiating between these two different realms.
Yeah.
But she's completely relegated. I mean, the only time we ever see her is when she's acting all, like, sisterly, you know, and trying to mend the hurts between Bella and Edward.
I think that has been what has pissed me off on a sort of like moral level in terms of these both the books and the films, and it just makes me angry that's what the movie industry thinks is appropriate to teach my kids.
Yeah, and I should note that my second dislike is actually related to this, which is really just a question. Do these characters actually talk about anything other than vampire stuff and their relationship? By these characters, I mean Jacob less so, but particularly Edward and Bella. Because the only two things they talk about are relationship shit and vampire shit. That's it. You never see them really talk about, like, movies or, you know, like, classical theater or, you know, just anything. They don't talk about anything. They just talk about, I love you.
I love you. There's a vampire coming.
She would never say it like that.
No, she would.
She wouldn't say it with as much emotion.
No, she'd say,
like, I love you. Yeah, exactly. Like, she's dying while she's doing it.
Well, she
We're not on your second dislike yet, though.
No,
come
but
on.
It was related to it, so I just got it out of the way. My second like. Most of my likes are actually just funny things that I laughed at while I was watching the movie, and I say that because I was laughing. But really, what that is my brain constricting on itself and pushing the happy centers of the brain as I was watching this. So really, that's what's going on. Is I'm not laughing in a real sense. That's just my brain like. Contracting.
Oh no, I get it. There's a reason I was mused by suicide.
Yeah, it's a it's a defensive response, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, mine is the fact that Kristen Stewart, and we've mentioned this, is completely and utterly incapable of demonstrating emotion at all. In fact, just Kristen Stewart. I mean, look, I will give Edward a break only because he's a vampire, you know, which is weird. But Kristen Stewart is particularly bad because there are scenes when she tries really, really, really hard to cry. And it's so clear that she's like pushing. She's pushing deep down, but it's so obvious that there's nothing there. And so she'll do these like whimper things, which aren't tears. And it's look, let's be totally honest. Like your first, I don't know if Jen, if you went through this, but like, you know, your first love when you're like 16, 17, you know, and you think you really love a guy and then he like breaks up with you, you know.
Oh, way crazier than anything that Bella ever does.
Yeah, in terms of emotion, right? You know,
and I wasn't planning on getting turned into a vampire.
Right. But you cried, you know, you cried.
Yes.
Maybe had your girlfriends over and you had like ice cream or something.
Well,
or
no, but I mean, yes, you get there. Thank you for the, you know, sexist sort of
interpretation
of what women do.
I do that. That's not a sexist thing. No, I'm correcting you.
Whatever.
It's not sexist.
Fine, sure.
Ice cream cures everything. Unless you're lactose intolerant, and then it just causes more problems.
Again, I'm sorry. I've forgotten. What's the like here?
I laughed when I was watching.
Oh, at her
face.
Efforts. Like they're very, yes.
It was looked like she
looks
getting
like
Botox.
She's pooping. Oh, that works too. Botox, constipated.
She's just
they
doing
both
this.
Work.
Yeah.
And this isn't technically one of my dislikes this time, but it is one of the definite problems with these movies. There is so little passion in what could be a very passionate story. Has this kind of the hint of potential for passion.
There's an idea of that, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, but it's because she utterly fails at a love story. But
it's true.
It's a love story, so there could be passion there.
And that's the sad thing is
they
I think all the passion.
None of it.
I think all the passion is in Jacob. Jacob is the only one as a character. And look, Taylor Lautner has a lot of issues acting-wise in this, and I think that's more direction and the crappy script. But it's clear that there's a lot of passion there. Like, he wants to bring it out, but he can't because he's, like, acting against somebody who's, like, a, you know, like a cardboard figure.
I know, because then he would just make her look bad.
Right, he can't act too much because he might lay out. But it was, you know, there were moments where, you know, Jacob, like, they talked about stuff. Like, they would mention music and they would talk about, you know, bikes and other things. And it was clear, like, there's something going on here, you know. But then it all gets just, like, sidelined because she has, like, a nightmare about Edward, like, biting her face off or something. I don't know. Whatever.
All right, you've done with your...
Yeah.
I think that was a like.
Yeah, I just go. Yeah.
My next like is finally some sexy.
Oh my god, yes.
Dude. I actually...
That's one of my likes.
It kind of sucks, because two of my likes are related to this, but...
Two of mine are too.
although, I kind of had an issue with the werewolves wandering around shirtless all the time.
Oh my god,
it was so like
good.
A little bit too much of man... booby
no,
going on.
No, listen, it was beautiful.
Their chesticles, even though they're hot. I mean, they're hot.
Yeah, half naked Native
makes me
Americans.
Feel a little bit dirty. Half naked dudes.
Native
always
Americans.
A good thing. Well, yeah. Whatever.
They're
whatever race they are,
the
as
only
long
ones
as they're attractive.
Yeah, that's true.
Are they're shirtless and ripped? Ripped every single one of them. And yeah, I did kind of have an issue with their whole jean shorts thing because
yeah,
like,
that was weird. Yeah.
I mean, do they, like, buy in bulk or something?
Where did
why
they go?
Jean? Why not, like, just a pair of, like, tennis shorts or something? I don't know.
Or nothing at all, since they...
Or nothing at all. And
I'm naked.
Totally right. Yeah. I think that would have been...
I actually wrote this down related to this. Please rescue me, sexy Native Americans. Rescue me from this movie.
Just please rescue me, sexy people, period.
But
okay,
they're
especially since this movie, both of the first two films, are so lacking in that issue of passion. There's nothing there. You got to get it from somewhere. You got to get like a little bit of heat from somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And thank goodness there's Sam and Emily, because I think they're the sweetest characters in the entire movie.
Were you the only one that was I the only one that really wanted to know more about their story?
No, I don't think so. I thought they were really interesting characters, and you find out more about them in Eclipse.
Yeah,
not a lot
bit.
More, but at least a hint that there is more. But the tribe period is probably the most interesting thing that she's written into this story, into these stories at all.
True.
And
I'd agree.
And aside from that, so yeah, I did like that, and I'll talk about that later, because at this point I really just was so thankful that there was anything sexy at all about these movies.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of sexy. Yes. My part of me that's a little bit gay, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little riled.
I'm so glad.
I am too. Like, I would totally make out with all of them at once. I'm admitting it publicly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going to save my other one that's related to this.
All right, yeah, mine is much later. So, okay. That's my second like. Are we under our second dislike?
Actually, you need to do a third like.
I have to do a third like.
Yeah,
why
because my third like was that one you just came up with.
Well, I'm not doing a third one yet.
But
I'm
at
just gonna go all over the place. You did two dislikes and I've only done one.
Okay, fine. We'll go to the next dislike. Whatever.
My next dislike. You've already done two.
Okay, fine. Go.
My next dislike is, oh my god, I'm getting old!
Yeah, that was so lame.
Let's just be honest here. Bella's issue isn't so much that Edward runs away and she's in love with him. Bella's issue is, oh my god, I'm getting old. I think I saw a gray hair.
By the way, Bella is under fucking 18.
Well, no, she turns 18.
Okay, she turns 18. Whatever.
She has her 18 birthday, and she freaking freaks out. It's the stupidest thing I have ever seen. Supposedly, she's freaking out. She starts out. The movie starts out with her dreaming about being with Edward as this, like, super ancient woman, and he's still young. And I get that on one level. Like, if you're with a vampire, that would totally suck to be, like, old. But having one birthday isn't going to, like, suddenly transition you from young woman to ancient crone.
Right.
That's not the progression that things take. You could be 20 and still be just as hot and just as young and just as vigorous and still not look that much older than Edward, who is being played by an actor in his mid-20s. So,
so
just shut the hell up already. I mean, I didn't start freaking out. Technically, I still haven't even started freaking out about being old.
I joke
about being 34 occasionally. I'm like, oh my god, I'm old. But that's only because my husband is 30. And I'm like, dude, it's just not fair.
Oh,
however,
my gosh. Yeah.
18? You have to be kidding me.
This
nothing important happens at 18. Literally.
Especially
nothing.
Not related to age.
Unless you're a dude, in which case you're, you know, signing up for the draft or something. Otherwise, 18, meaningless.
No, I completely agree. This whole, like, the issue of age in this movie is completely ridiculous, I think.
Get brought up in a couple of points, actually.
Yeah,
I mean,
they argue with her, yeah.
It's Edward dealing, Edward is only 17, so that's like, ooh, but he's actually 109, so ooh, and then Jacob, oh my god, he's only 16, he's 2 years younger than her, and she's like, oh, that's so gross. You're like, wait, what?
You're 18, he's 16, that's not a big deal, even
dismissing the fact that there's a 2 year age difference, let's look at your freaking 100 year age difference. I mean, thank goodness that they actually have a line in there that points out how absurd and, like, creepy that is.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, you gotta remember that this movie's really about the state of our education system. Because recall that she graduates, and she's this dumb.
In the next movie.
In the next movie, she graduates. Yeah. In the next movie, she graduates, and she's this dumb that she can't do basic math. in her head.
Well, no, it's not that she can't do basic math. It's that she's got a complete double standard when it comes to basic math.
Okay. 2 years if you're younger than me is evil.
But that's gross. But if you're 90 years older than me, that's no. Woo! That's okay. I love that. That's hot. 90-year-old men. 109-year-old men. So sexy. It's not a wrinkle. It's a crinkle.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it just, it kind of drove me crazy because it was a concept. It was an issue that was throughout the film and just taken way too far.
Yeah, it was definitely. So you've now done 3 dislikes.
And I've only done 2 dislikes.
2 dislikes, so we're caught up. Okay, so then you need to do 1 more like.
I'll do 1 more like.
Okay, next, caught up.
My next like is that Alice is still my favorite.
Yeah, I'll give that to you. She's not bad.
I mean, Jacob's kind of cool, and actually if I'm technically going with favorites, I'm not picking anybody who's even in the movie. But since I kind of have to pick somebody in the movie, I enjoy the actress portraying Alice. She's got more emotion than I think 95% of the other characters that are portrayed on a regular basis. I suppose actually the only person that actually seems genuine in both movies is Jacob's dad.
Carlisle? Oh no,
Jacob's dad.
Jacob's dad, the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I forget his name right now.
Like Chief.
Oh, I forgot one of my big dislikes that I was... Oh, okay, I've got a new dislike. Sweet.
Okay. So we have done 3 likes, 2 dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're on dislikes and we're playing. Well, now we're caught up officially. Yes?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
My dislike is... Well, this is technically my first dislike, but we did the suicide thing. So, worst, most unromantic, weirback kiss ever. Do you remember this? She has her creepy dream, right? And then they go to school, and, like, he comes up to her, and they, like, have their, we're back in school, yay! And then he kisses her, and it's this... I mean, to be honest, all kissing in all of these movies is bad.
Terrible.
These actors have no concept of kissing. It's bad kissing. It's really bad. It's like Japanese porn kissing. It's just bad. Only like the opposite extreme, because Japanese porn kissing is weird. But
it's, okay.
I think it's a little odd that I know what that is.
Just gonna pretend you didn't say that, and we're moving on.
But it's the most, like, you know, it's supposed to be this moment that's, you know, thrilling and exciting, you know, like when you've got your hot lover and he comes and, you know, you haven't seen him for a while and, oh, my lover, and... You know, and then they give this, like, weak pansy kiss, which is just, like, what happened? Where's the, like what you said earlier, where is the fucking passion? It's a fucking kiss, like, snog the hell out of her. That's what I want to see. Her lips should be red when he's done with her.
They should be.
They should be. It's a snog. It's not supposed to be, like, you know? That's like how he kisses her like he kisses his mother, which is the problem.
They look a little bit like fish when they're kissing.
They do. So that's it. Let's move on.
All right. Am I on my next dislike?
Yeah.
So this is the one that I just realized that I had when I was watching the movie, because it made me very, very angry that they did something. Maybe it was the third movie now that I think about it. No, I'm pretty sure it was the second movie. Yeah, it's the second movie. Okay. I was really, really angry that Graham Greene, Michael Sheen, and Dakota Fanning were forced to be in this film. I think somebody held them at gunpoint.
Wait, who was in this? I know Dakota Fanning, but who? Sheen?
Graham Greene and Michael Sheen.
Oh, got it. Okay, I'm sorry. Wrong Sheen. You're thinking the guy from, Tron Legacy or that movie Frost, Nixon Frost.
Frost, Nixon.
Or Underworld.
The one about the queen, not the queen, but
the reporter and Nixon.
Yeah, Frost, Nixon, the Prime Minister movie.
Underworld,
the queen. And then, obviously, Underworld. So, this is a guy he's good. And actually, he's one of the few good points in the movie.
That's true.
But Graham Greene, I have a huge amount of respect for. I've loved him for years. He's a fantastic Native American actor. I suppose the only reason he's in this is because people just keep not writing roles for Native Americans, which is really disappointing. And so he's forced to be in shit films like this one. And
but is Graham Greene the like really close Harry. Fishy buddy?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. He dies.
Yeah, and that was sad.
Yeah,
and,
it don't hurt.
You know what? I celebrated when he died because it meant that Graham Greene no longer had to be in these shit movies.
Awful.
I'm sorry. I hated that about this movie. I was like, dude, why? Don't be in this movie. Don't be in this movie. Stop it. You're bringing yourself down.
It's again, you know, there's all these interesting things of like, you know, white people intermingling with Native American people, you know, like that seems such a much more interesting story than what we got.
Yeah.
Cause it is, you know, I mean, there's a lot of reasonable tensions that exist there, but yet here we have, you know, two guys who are like best buds. And I'm much more interesting about the relationship between this tribe and Forks.
Mm-hmm. That's me too.
Yeah. Even though it's not filmed in Forks, it's filmed in basically Portland, but yeah. Whatever.
But yeah, so that was a big pisser for me. I was really sad when I saw Graham Greene.
Well, Dakota Fanning has had a really weird career now.
She has a very, totally agreed, but I know her acting chops are there. I mean, let's be honest, like her scene where she like causes pain and then tries to cause pain and it doesn't work. That's some of the best acting in the movie.
She does it really creepy.
Exactly. She barely has to do anything at all. Her face was, I loved, that was the only thing I really loved watching, was watching her face. You know, like, start with just this hint of glee, like, I am going to cause pain on you, without even having a smile, and it's all in her eyes, and then it just drops.
Yeah, it's good.
So subtly. It was beautiful, and I'm like, yes, that's what you're supposed to see in movies. Good acting!
Well, she's done some really great movies, and then she's been in some stinkers.
Some stinkers, like this one.
Yeah, this is one of them. And I think that's because she's in that weird phase where she's no longer a child actor.
Yeah, I know.
And a lot of child actors have trouble with that transition. But I think she's going to have a career if she just gets away from Twilight.
I hope so. But yeah, so to recap, good actors being in bad movies. Stop.
Okay. So my fourth like is one that we've, I think, touched on when we looked at the first movie, mm-hmm. And it's something we touched on already in this, but that the fact that this movie, like, I would actually show this to like a feminist class as like a primer for like how not to look for one's inner woman.
Totally.
Because the whole issue when Edward leaves and she becomes this sort of lifeless husk drove me up the wall. I mean, yeah. Just absolutely, like, how is this normal that anybody, like a father, could look at a daughter and see, like, you have wasted away for 6 months because your boyfriend left, and that's somehow normal? I mean, and then she goes to suicide. Like, this is not about, like, you know, this is a movie that's essentially, like you said, it's a movie about why a woman's life must be made better by having
men around.
Let me rephrase. This is a movie that's all about why a woman needs a man. It's not about why a woman's life might be made better by having a partner who may or may not be a man, right? Because I would think, because you're married, and I'm not. I only have a girlfriend, right? But you're married, and I would think that you would agree that your life is better because you have your husband.
Yeah, sure. Well, we'll go with that.
Not because he's a man, but because he's your partner.
Yes.
Right? That your life, he adds something to your life.
Yes, otherwise I wouldn't be married to him.
Right, right. And that's not to say that your life is just based on your husband. You know, you have your own self that's separate from that. But that he comes in, having him in your life actually makes things even better than it is before. Not that the yes. before is bad, but that it improves. This isn't a movie that's about...
But it's not just that my life is improved. Both our lives are improved.
Right. Well, I would assume.
You know, it's like a puzzle piece. We fit the pieces. You fit the pieces in. That's what you're supposed to do with a partner.
Right.
And in these movies, they portray the most unhealthy possible relationship. It's completely yeah. imbalanced. All the strength, all the power is with the men.
Right. Because the difference is for Bella, it's about she needs a man in order for her life to have meaning. It's not that having a man or a woman, in case she's a lesbian, right, that having that partner makes her life better. It's about I need that partner in order for my existence to have meaning. And that is a big problem.
Right.
That is huge. And that I would, in fact, show this movie to a feminist class or show it as a primer to one's children about how not to act as a human being and how not to think about the opposite sex. Because all these movies are about that. Yeah. I think I made my point.
I think so, too.
So should we go to our interlude and to the acting?
Yeah. Pause. Music. And now for a conversation with Stephanie Meyer.
Miss Meyer.
Please call me Stephanie.
Stephanie, your books have been...
Actually, can you call me Isabella?
I'm sorry?
You see, I always wanted to be an Isabella. It's such a beautiful name, after all. Don't you agree?
Yes, but...
Oh, I don't think you do. I've written a whole book about that name. That's what the books are really about.
About a name?
Yes, exactly. It's genius, really. Not to be arrogant or anything. But, well, the entire series is meant to revere the power of that single name.
In what way?
Oh, well, you know, and all that supernatural techno mumbo jumbo. Just take my word for it.
Are you honestly suggesting that your novels are about reverence for the name Isabella? Your fans would find that hard to believe, I think. After all, so much attention has been given to the books about your underlying, you know, misogyny, your inept writing abilities, your lifeless husk of characters who readers sort of can transplant themselves upon in some ridiculous and altogether disturbing game of identity ventriloquism. Are you really saying that all those hundreds of thousands of fans missed the point?
Yes, I am.
If that's so... Then I have to ask, what is it about the name Isabella and its contraction, Bella, that makes it such an important name?
Well, it's the name of the Dark One, the Lord of the Underworld, the true name of Hades, Ra, Ukur, Velis, Lucifer, and Satan.
Satan?
Yes, her Lord and Savior, Isabella.
Her?
I live my life for her. In all her dark glory.
Miss Meyer.
Isabella.
Isabella. If I'm to take you seriously, it would seem that you're saying that your novels are, in fact, acts of satanic worship. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yes, you are. I've used my literature to provide a vessel for Isabella's return to the mortal realms. Soon, all those lifeless husks I've created by turning teenage girls and horny housewives into raving idiots will bow before the mighty power of Isabella, who will consume them in the fires of hell. Oh, it will be a glorious day.
I think we'll leave it there. Thank you for your time, Isabella.
You're welcome.
And scene.
Oh, I can make it funny.
Oh, you totally outstaged me there. That where you went crazy like that, that was beautiful. Thank you. I just gotta admit it. That was really beautiful.
And we're back from our brief interlude.
In which Jen was a crazy person.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yay!
I only tried to portray Stephanie Meyer to the best of my ability.
If anybody has any ideas, by the way, of like how we could do these little things, or if you want to write one, like if you know ahead of time what the movie is and you want to write us a dialogue, I would totally be cool with that.
As long as it's funny.
Yeah, as long as it's funny. We may like do little edits, but nothing major.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're all right. Yeah.
So we are on to my fourth like.
Yep, and I am down, by the way, to... I don't know what that is, but half of what I started with now.
That would be...
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. 2/8
of a bottle.
2/8 of a bottle. Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so my fourth like, I've kind of touched on this one with the fact that I liked that they brought the sexy.
Oh, no, no. Save it. No, do your other one.
Fine.
Do your other one, because that's... No, I want us to do both.
Fine.
Yeah. Save it.
Totally unrelated, although I did just discuss it a little bit. One of my likes is the Volturi. They were definitely the highlight of the movie.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they come right at the end.
Yeah, we'll talk about this in the next time, just so you know.
Yes. Well, they're actually less in the next one than they are in this one, but...
it's on my list.
So, the Volturi are headed by Arrow, which was part of my problems with this film, was the fact that it was Michael Sheen, and seriously, dude, find some better parts, because I know you can get them. However, I do like that there are rules within the vampire world. I appreciate that Stephanie Meyer has written that in, as much as I hate her on every other level. At least it let them put some interesting characters into the books, which was kind of nice, or into the movies rather. Better acting characters, and one of the best scenes in the movie, which was the fight scene in which, sadly, Edward did not die. But
it's true.
But I did like the Volturi. I love, you know, the sort of glee with which that one vampire right at the end is taking a group of tourists down the hall.
Oh, yeah.
to be murdered. I like that they have a celebration in this city that they live in that celebrates the fact that vampires were thrown out of the city. I think it's hilarious that the Volturi are kind of sitting there, you know, lording it over them.
In the next room, essentially.
In the next room.
Yeah.
Exactly. They were just kind of... And a cool sort of cast of characters. Interesting. I mean, granted, they're all kind of played up as these classical Renaissance vampires. And there's not a lot of... I suppose that is kind of unfortunate about the Volturi that they don't really make up a spectrum of vampires. They're literally just these, you know, bunch of white people who
this is true.
Sit in the castle. But I liked that scene. I liked how they portrayed them.
Can I ask you a question about this?
Hmm.
I don't know about you, but based on what we know about Dakota Fanning's character.
Yes.
Am I the only one that thinks that, like, she's, like, a dominatrix?
Oh, totally.
Okay. I'm just making sure I'm not being a pervert.
No, you're totally not.
Okay.
I wish you had brought that up in the next recording, but,
oh, okay.
Yeah. No, she's totally, and I think Arrow digs her, you know, I'm just saying.
He does, but he also he's a little bit of a sadomasochist.
So. Oh, totally.
Or is it masochist? Which is the one that just, like, gets pleasure out of seeing other people hurt.
Oh, that's a sadist.
Okay, sadist. He's a sadist. Excuse me.
Yes.
Sorry. Sadomasochist is where you enjoy having yourself hurt? Or is that masochist? Yes.
That's a masochist.
Okay, I'm getting them all confused. I've also drank a lot.
Sadomasochist, I believe, is somebody who likes both. Giving and receiving.
He probably likes both.
Yeah, exactly.
He's probably a sadomasochist.
Yeah.
He's a little weird. Okay, so fourth dislike... Is that where we're at? Fourth dislike? Yeah, because I got two left.
We are on our fourth dislike, yes.
Okay. My fourth dislike will be pretty easy, which is just this. Yay, domestic abuse. So romantic.
Oh my God, that's totally my fourth dislike, too.
We don't even really need to talk about it. We've mentioned almost essentially everything in this, but it's basically.
But it comes out again. It's even worse this time because she goes between two guys. I mean, God, it's such a bummer, too, because her dad is such a good guy.
He tries.
Yet he tries anyway. He's been distant and obviously he's not that great, but he still at least tries. But she swings between a dude who, if he like desires her, he might accidentally kill her, and yay for that. And a dude who, if he gets angry, might accidentally kill her. And
but here's the difference.
Hmm.
Here's the big difference.
One of them doesn't want to get angry?
One of them doesn't, well, I mean, Jacob doesn't want to hurt her, right? He doesn't want to get angry.
Supposedly, Edward doesn't want to hurt her either. I just find that
That's the difference, though, because he understands what his essential being is. When Jacob, because Jacob, I think the implication is that with Jacob, they can lose utter control. They can lose all control. Like, if they get angry, and it particularly, the implication, I think, is that when you're a younger version, and I think in both cases, when you're a younger, like, inductee, right, that you have less control. And that's what he's ultimately, Jacob is afraid of, right, is, you know, that's why he distances himself from her initially. So he doesn't want to hurt her because he knows that he's now, you know, in this fledgling stage. But with Edward, he's been a vampire for a long time, right?
No excuses.
I don't think he has any excuses. He knows he can control himself. He should be able to control himself.
Here's the problem. I think the issue actually is more that, not that Edward or Jacob, because both of them, neither one of them technically want to hurt her, but both of them definitely have the capability and a very good chance of doing so. Edward actually does hurt her in the scene in which she cuts herself and Jasper attacks. He throws her against the table. Right.
That was awesome.
So it's that this sort of danger is an attractive quality in a mate. The potential for violence is an attractive quality.
Yeah. And I think that there's a degree to which that becomes less, perhaps obvious with Jacob, because I think by the second movie,
he seems to try harder.
He seems to try harder, and I think, quite honestly, he has more control over himself than Edward does. But by the second movie, anyway, we're kind of jumping ahead.
Yeah.
I would think so. But that's not to say Jacob is, like, the greatest guy in the whole world. He does some things that are pretty much downright dirty. Because he's, and I think that's the thing, is, like, there's so many dynamics of this that could have been explored better. Like, the fact that there is the problem, like, the vampires and the werewolves are at war, essentially, which is not a new idea. But yet you have this love triangle, which is essentially a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing. But that's never explored, about Jacob's sort of conflict within himself about being, you know, that he loves Bella, but he's... like, in this...
It's touched on, but it's not, again, it's not explored. There, any potential for a subplot is ignored in favor of Bella trying to commit suicide over and over again.
Or you know, like, and 20 then, minutes of, you know, conversation where, you know, there's 8 words said. Yeah.
Yeah, and Edward exposing himself to be a sparkly vampire.
Oh, no!
Scary!
I hoped he'd die.
End of the world. Yeah. And I mean, we've touched on this already, the fact that it teaches women that, you know, that women are nothing without men.
Yep.
And then it teaches them that when they do find a man, that man should have the capability of hurting them at the drop of a hat, because that's really important.
All right, so should we go to our fifth life?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know these are related, so, and I did this on purpose, because I think the best moment in the movie, can you guess what that moment is? Without saying what it is, can you guess?
No, I can't guess.
Okay. When Taylor Lautner takes off his shirt to clean Bella's wounds, that 10 seconds of the most beautiful human body ever.
The dumbest point in the movie, if by best moment in the movie you mean dumbest point in the movie, then that's the best moment in the movie.
I loved it.
I loved that it was such a blatant excuse to show off his chest.
Oh my god, it's such a beautiful chest.
Which is amazing, because did he really need an excuse? They walk around shirtless all the time anyway, so you're like, dude, what? No, that's not my...
But it's related to sexy.
But my like is the werewolves. And this is actually related to my last dislike, but I'm going to start with my like. I do like the werewolves. As I said earlier, the story with the tribe is probably the most interesting story to come out of any of these films. I like the history.
I like their reason for, existing. You know, coming awake. I like that that is all explained, because the tribe doesn't have werewolves consistently.
Right. It's although only when vampires are around.
When vampires are near, or the danger is perceived that they are coming, that they awaken. And that, on one hand, seems like a really dumb survival tactic, because if you turn into a werewolf after they're already there, then you're probably screwed. But
it's true.
Just saying. And it seems to take them a while to figure out that there are vampires nearby, so whatever. And just all the scenes. I enjoy the camaraderie between them. There's cute moments where, you know, like, they can read each other's minds, and I really liked those little elements that were thrown into the pack dynamics.
Okay.
And they were kind of cool looking, too.
Yeah, they were pretty cool.
And they wander around shirtless all the time, so dude,
it's hot.
So yeah, that's my
10 seconds of the movie.
Oh my god. I worry about you sometimes.
I'm sorry, I'm totally gay for Lautner.
You need a shirt.
I wish I looked like him.
Yeah, don't we all?
Just from the neck down. I don't want his face. So my face is too sexy for that. So.
Of course. All right. Yep. So your last dislike?
Yep. Remember that black guy from the last movie?
Yes.
Remember how he wasn't really kind of a bad guy? I mean, he wanted to eat Bella, but like, he kind of didn't want to be involved. Yeah, that's all thrown out the window. Black guy's a bad guy now.
Yeah.
Really pissed me off. I was really annoyed by that. That he comes back only to be a bad guy. That's his only point.
It was like, all right, randomly throwing in a vampire for no particular reason.
Yeah, and it annoys me because the first movie had made such a big deal about the fact that he shows up at the Cullens' house to tell them, this is not my fight, and I am going to back out, and I'm warning you about whatever Joseph or whatever the hell the ponytail guy is, right?
James,
whatever. He warns them about the two of them, and then he comes back working with Victoria? Even though he warns, like, that made no fucking sense. It was...
And I had been under the impression, like, I thought from that somebody had told me at one point that in the books he actually goes, like, to Alaska and joins one of the vegetarian groups.
Oh, so they just threw in a random black guy.
I don't know. I haven't read the book.
Black bad guy.
For all I know, that's exactly what happens. He gets killed by the werewolves and blah, blah,
stereotypical
blah.
Black bad guy fits into the whole, you know... The idea of the black man as the one with insatiable desire for white women, in this case it's just transplanted to, because obviously the metaphor in all of this is that vampirism is just sex. So
Exactly.
Fucking racist.
Which actually kind of leads me to my next point, which is that vampire versus werewolf or white man versus red man.
Fucking racist.
I mean, it's set up as a very clear dichotomy here. Vampires are, except for the one, you're going to have to excuse my dog in the background, except for the one, black guy, all of the vampires are white.
Yeah.
They are cultured, very clean clothing lines, very expensive, very nice, super modern homes or classic, you know, the Italian homes. They drive amazing, super expensive cars. They talk about literature and music and collect art, very refined speech.
Yep.
And let's look at, the werewolves. What are they? They are the Native Americans who live in slightly run-down homes. They obviously wander around in jean shorts and no shirts. They talk about motorcycles and fishing and drinking beer. I mean, I could go on with how stark the difference is.
Racism.
And it's really unfortunate because, I mean, yes, they're also portrayed, the vampires are portrayed as cold and a cold and kind of emotionless, and the werewolves are
portrayed as warm and passionate to an extent. So yeah, there's a couple positives in there, but they're so vastly outweighed by the negative portrayals of the Native American culture.
And stereotypical portrayals, by the way.
Stereotypical portrayals of the Native American culture. It was just... cheap shots and pointless and could have been much more interesting.
Yeah, so lessons we've learned from this movie. Women are sex objects who cannot live without a man. Black people are only good temporarily, but inevitably succumb to their insatiable desires and become bad. White people are vampires who generally uphold the qualities of culture and society and all that good stuff. And werewolves are brown people who are savages.
Yep, that about sums it up. Oh, yeah. The battery, you know, spousal domestic violence is A-OK.
Yeah, domestic violence. Yeah. So racism and sexism. Yay! Okay, so that does it for this episode because we're done, right?
We need to grade it.
Oh, F minus.
Let's just take it easy. I'll give it an F.
I fucking hate it.
I didn't put it down as one of my dislikes because I had so many other dislikes, and we kind of mentioned it for a minute. The pacing in this movie is so awful that what was unfortunately a 2-hour film in the first place, and for frack's sake, nobody should make 2-hour movies, felt like a maybe 5 to 10 hour film.
Yeah, because nothing happens for like 40 minutes.
I don't think anything happened for an hour and a half.
I mean, there were like a couple things that happened.
Maybe, but Jacob so accidentally grabbed her boob at one point. And boring in the first place that you're like...
That's true. Anywho, so we should close this out. So if anybody wants to like let us know what they thought, if they've unfortunately punished themselves by watching this piece of shit, which I really hope you didn't, or you want to let us know whatever, anything, you can do that in 4 ways. You can go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
The email-y thing.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
Blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Yep, and Twitter.
Twitter.com/SkiffyandFanty.
Cool. All right, so we're going to now take a break, which means this episode ends, and then we're going to start recording the other one. So,
yay.
Fuck you all for picking this piece of shit.
Good night, folks.
Bye. Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction!
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.